I'd love to welcome everyone to this week's Citizens Climate University and weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics ranging to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight's topic is attending town halls and candidate forums. We're going to be joined by Jennifer Tyler, CCL's Director of Government Affairs, for a training that's we're going to review attending town hall and candidate forum planning. Town hall meetings and candidate forums are settings, as we know, where the member of Congress or candidates want to connect with different people in the district. And when these are events are large and structured, the opportunity may be different than when they're small. So we'll review all of those considerations. And through good planning and by being quick to adapt to the situation, you can take advantage of those opportunities with what Jen is going to review tonight. So a little bit about Jen before I pass it to her to take it from there. Jennifer Tyler serves as CCL's Director of Government Affairs and is part of CCL's Government Relations team in Washington, D.C. In this role, she works to advance the policy goals of CCL in Congress. A little bit of background behind Jennifer. She has spent over 7 years in public service, serving as congressional staff. Most recently, she was Deputy Chief of Staff and Legislative Director for Congressman John Katko of New York. And throughout her time as congressional staff, Jennifer handled a broad policy portfolio, including transportation, natural resources, taxes, homeland security, agriculture, and healthcare. She's developed strong relationships throughout Washington on both sides of the aisle, has extensive experience in crafting and advancing legislative initiatives. And for all of that, we are so lucky to have you joining us tonight to really give your perspective on how we can best leverage and engage our legislators in town halls and candidate forums for the campaign season ahead. If we've done our job well, tonight you'll walk away with the following three learning goals: having the chance to define the purpose for many different types of town halls. I'm guessing you may hear of a new one tonight that you haven't been engaged with before. We'll also review the process for finding, planning for, and attending town hall and candidate forums across the country. And we'll also review where you can find additional supporting resources for your chapter's preparations. And to do that, we're going to review the types of town halls and candidate forums out there, how you can find out about them. Sometimes that's a little bit harder than others. We'll review how you can set your objectives for your team's success. Jen will provide some tips, tricks, and what to avoid. And then we'll actually model some sample questions for you to be able to provide for your chapter in these town hall events. But with that, I'm going to pass it to you, Jen, and we are so honored to have all of you attending tonight.
Thanks so much, Brett, and thanks everyone for joining us tonight. This is going to be a fun topic. I spent many years on the other side of this, planning town halls and moderating them for my members. So it's exciting to use that knowledge to hopefully help a lot of you be a little more effective in those meetings, get more out of them than you might have otherwise. So we're going to start, we're going to talk about a few different types and kind of break them down. There's different subsections in each of these, but one you're most familiar with probably are the in-person events. We're also going to talk about political events, so some of the campaign functions that might be going on this year as we get closer to the elections. And then the virtual events, which obviously are becoming more common with COVID, but have been around for some time and are the most frequent events that occur in terms of town halls. So we'll start and we'll break down the in-person events. We're going to start with the one that you guys are probably most familiar with. It's the traditional one that you think of most often, where the member of Congress is standing before a big audience of their constituents. They might have some brief remarks at the beginning, maybe update you on what's happening in Congress, what their priorities are, but then they just take questions from people in the audience. There's usually very little structure. The topics can range whatever the constituent wants to ask about, the member is going to answer to the best of their ability. So it's the most open-ended forum in terms of town hall events and the one that I think most people are most familiar and comfortable with. And then outside of that, another in-person town hall is going to be the topic-specific one. And this kind of branched out of the in-person general ones. When the general town halls allow constituents to ask the member a question on any topic, it can make the member pretty uncomfortable. It can make those town halls somewhat confrontational, depending on who's asking what. So members came up with these more topic-specific town halls, and those are becoming more common because it's very structured. The member feels more comfortable. The staff probably feels more comfortable. And what happens is a member and their staff will pick a specific issue, and it's usually a local issue. So it might be something like rising substance use disorder rates in the district, or a local infrastructure project that's working its way through the planning process. And they'll announce a town hall and convene members of the community to discuss that specific issue. They're going to phrase it as, I want to update you on what I'm doing in Congress, but I also want to hear from you. What do you think about this topic, and what can I do better on this issue to serve you? So this can be a little tricky when you're coming at it from a climate perspective, talking about environmental issues. If the topic is on something like infrastructure or substance use disorder, it can be hard to relate that back. But there's two important opportunities that these present. One is that you get to engage with the member on a topic they're passionate about. So whatever the topic is of these town halls, you can trust that it's something that the member cares about and their staff cares about. So you're automatically building that stronger relationship with a member when you show up and engage on something that is important to them. You're strengthening that relationship, and the staff is going to take note of that. The second opportunity can be tricky, but is to demonstrate the relationship between that issue and climate. So infrastructure is a great example. Maybe it's a new road or a bridge. Maybe the old one was degrading because of flooding or something. Maybe you can tie that back to climate. So there is a way to kind of demonstrate how so many issues in the communities are somehow tangentially related to an environmental issue, a climate-related issue. So there is an opportunity to do that, even though it might be a little more tricky than other formats. We'll pivot to talking about the campaign events. So the first one is going to be a candidate forum. And those are going to occur much more frequently now as we get closer to primary elections and general elections. So you'll start seeing some of those pop up in the next few months, and then we'll get more and more of them in the summer and in the fall. Most often, those are going to be hosted by a local nonprofit organization, and it's going to focus on a specific topic that's relevant to that nonprofit. So it might be a nonprofit that focuses on disability issues and accessibility. They're going to hold a town hall on that topic, and they're going to have different candidates come to the forum and talk about how do they feel about that issue, what are their policy priorities in the space, and allow members of the community to ask questions on that topic. Now, this is similar to the topic-specific town halls where it might be hard to relate that back to environment, but the key opportunity in these events is going to be for grasstops engagement. You still want to take the chance, if you can, to engage with the candidate, whether that be the incumbent or the non-incumbent in the forum itself, but it's a good opportunity to reach out to the local nonprofit that's hosting the event to create a new relationship if you don't already have one, or strengthen an existing relationship, given that you know now that organization has the ear of the incumbent and the non-incumbent. If they were able to get these candidates to show up, it's clear that that nonprofit is relevant and important to those candidates. So it's a worthwhile investment to reach out to them and see if you can start to build and strengthen that relationship so that hopefully down the road, we can coordinate with them better and use them to advance our mission and hopefully advance their mission as well. The next type of political campaign event is going to be a campaign town hall. And this can take a variety of formats. So going back to our previous kind of in-person events, it can look like an in-person general town hall where the member is speaking before a wide audience, answering any question a constituent has. It can be in a topic-specific town hall where the candidate is just talking about one specific topic. It can also be virtual. So it could be over the telephone on some sort of online virtual platform. The significance of these is that, one, they're going to happen leading up to primaries and general elections. So it's going to be, you know, this time of year and getting towards the end of the year. And it's going to allow you an opportunity to ask politically focused questions. So in all the other formats outside of the candidate forums, you're not going to be able, you can ask, but the member will not be able to answer any questions that are political because they are putting those events on in their official capacity as a member of Congress. They can't answer questions that are going to talk about the upcoming election, you know, their election platform, specific political polling, maybe some of the breakdown in the district, anything that gets into that political lane, they're going to have to steer away from because it is technically an official event. So this gives you an opportunity to think about, are there some politically focused questions that might be relevant that you couldn't have asked in another format that you could ask here? Next, we'll move on to the virtual events. So these, like I said, have become more common with COVID, but for the past, I want to say 5 or 6 years, these have been the leading town halls and public events that members have been holding, mostly because they're incredibly easy for a member to hold. They don't have to be at a specific physical location. They can be anywhere. They can be in DC or in their home, anywhere. And they're also the most structured events. So the member and their staff have the most control over the questions that are being asked and answered, how long someone's speaking for, who's speaking, who's the audience. They have a lot of control, which makes them feel a lot more comfortable. And they're also a lot easier to put on because they're all virtual. So it takes a lot less effort on the staff end. It's a lot less of a financial investment usually for the office. So for a number of reasons, these are going to be the most common that are occurring. So I'm going to walk through a little bit how these operate, because I know these might be new for some of you. But essentially, teletown halls all occur over the phone. There's going to be an audience that can be a couple hundred people up to a few thousand people. So it ranges depending on what the member of Congress and their staff want. And that audience is chosen by the congressional office. So they're handpicking people, and they can do that in a number of different ways. They can do it by where you're located in the district, specific towns, specific neighborhoods. They can do it by age. They can do it by political affiliation, and they can do it by really any other demographic that they have in their database. So there's a wide variety of ways for them to structure this, and they do have a pretty extensive database of all of their constituents to target the right people based on the topic or the audience that they want to reach at the time. And once they have this audience chosen, there's basically an automatic dial out. So there isn't usually a lot of notice. You're not getting, you know, week's notice and email in advance. You usually get a call. It might be the morning of, it might be an hour before, that says you answer the phone and it's an automated message from your member of Congress, or just an automated robot telling you in an hour and this long, there's going to be a town hall held by this member of Congress. If you'd like to join, please answer our call at that time. So at that time, you'll get a call. It'll say, if you'd like to be connected to the teletown hall by X member of Congress, please press this button. When you do, you'll be put into the call. And the way these operate from there on out, you're going to have all of these people on this teletown hall. Everyone's obviously muted, so you're not hearing a bunch of constituents. You're just hearing the member of Congress. And they're going to start by giving intro remarks on what they want to talk about, their priorities, what they're doing. And then everyone else is going to be prompted. If you have a question, push a button. Once you push that button, you're going to be put into a queue. You still hear what the member is saying, but a staffer will then select you in order to screen your question. So you're first going to ask your question to the staffer. And then once the staffer screens it, they put it in the database. And then someone, whether it be the member of Congress or their communication staffer, is picking which questions get asked live on air. So there is a different process. There's a lot of, like I said, a lot of screening, a lot of structure, which makes it so that the member of Congress only answers questions their staff wants them to answer. It makes it harder to get your question actually answered and asked on air. But we're going to go through later some tips to get it so that you can really make sure, hopefully, your question is being asked on air. There's ways to structure it, so more likely you're going to be chosen. So that's a lot about teletown halls, but there's a lot of nuance in those. The next one we'll talk about, I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with Facebook Live events, and there's also Instagram Live, obviously, now. There's some Twitter events that people have done, gotten really creative with. So those are different virtual events that people are holding. A lot of times those happen in coordination with a local newspaper or local media outlet who wants to put that on. So it can be a dialogue between the member of Congress and a reporter or another official in the district. And then that gives you an opportunity to either post live as it's happening what your question is, or they ask you to submit questions in advance. So just another type of virtual event that we're seeing happen much more frequently now that we are in COVID. All right, so those were all the different types of town halls. We will now talk about how do you find an event and how do you set an objective when you do attend an event, or hopefully before you attend it. So finding an event, there's a number of different strategies. The easiest one and probably most go-to one is looking at your member's website. And I'm sure a lot of you are visiting your member's website pretty regularly, but nowadays most members of Congress have a specific form or link on the member webpage that is going to be specific to town halls or finding an event, participating in a forum, some type of language like that. It's going to be a form, it's going to be a link where you can put in all your information. They might ask you what topics you're interested in, and that link, that form is going to then put you on their internal list. So most member offices will have a list of people who want to be invited to in-person events, but that same list is going to duplicate for telephone town halls as well. So you want to make sure if there's a link, you're signing up on that on their website. You also want to make sure that the office has your correct contact information. So when you're filling in that form on their website, you want to make sure that everything you're putting in is correct. And I want to stress that you want to use a telephone number that you can be reached at during weekday evenings. There's the teletown halls that usually occur are happening during weekday nights. It's usually anywhere from 5 o'clock to 8, 9 o'clock. So you want to use a phone number that you're going to be easily reached at during that time. And even if the office doesn't necessarily have a link on their website, you're going to want to make sure that the office has your correct contact information, because if they are using their database to create their teletown hall audience, you want to make sure they know the exact neighborhood you live at and the correct phone number. So even if there's no link online, just make sure the office has all of your correct info. You also want to sign up for the members newsletter. I'm sure a lot of you have already done this, but most people use their newsletter to send out future events if they want a widely attended in-person event. And there's also a little rule within the House and the Senate where members cannot proactively reach out to constituents within a certain number of months before an election, before a primary in general. So because of that, because they can't proactively reach out to people, there's a loophole where if anyone has signed up for their newsletter and said, "Member of Congress, I allow you, contact me, send me your newsletter, send me your info," the House says, okay, because, and the Senate, because that person opted in, we're going to allow you to reach out to them leading up to elections. So you're going to be a part of those teletown hall audiences and in-person audiences that you might not otherwise be because you are on that newsletter list. They're going to be able to send you updates, emails, notifications of future events leading up to elections that they can't send to a broader audience because of that rule. You're also going to want to look at your members' Facebook page. We talked about the social media avenues they can do these live events. Members are going to post on their Facebook page periodically, on their Instagram, on their different social medias when they're having upcoming events. So keep in touch with that. And one that you guys are probably most familiar with, the district scheduler. A lot of the best information in terms of the members' actions and behaviors, activities in the district comes from the district scheduler. You want to build a relationship with that scheduler, not these town halls, but more broadly, it can be just very helpful to have that relationship. But particularly with town halls in the district, the scheduler is going to know as soon as it's scheduled. So you want to check in by phone 2 weeks before recess to try to make sure if there's anything coming up, you're aware. But then during the congressional recesses, especially longer ones like the August recess, you want to be checking in fairly regularly. You don't want to, not too much, we're not trying to pester them, but you know, every couple of weeks or so, you might want to touch base, send an email, make a phone call, build that relationship, but also just see if anything new got scheduled that you can participate in. We also talked about a lot of the campaign events. So as the campaign season begins, you're going to want to call the campaign office of the challenging candidate or the incumbent and see, one, do they have a list similar to an official office of people that they might notify for an in-person or virtual event? If so, you obviously want to get on that list. And if not, you just want to know, are there any upcoming events planned? And that might also be an opportunity to form a relationship with someone in the campaign office if they don't have any events scheduled, to see, okay, when should I check back in? How can I become better informed? And the last one I'll mention that some of you might have used before is the townhallproject.com. It's a good resource. It lists all the different town halls that are scheduled across the country, but it's not totally comprehensive. So I listed all the other avenues first because it's still most helpful to do all of those to check in with your actual member and your actual candidates. But that's a good resource to check in as well in case something slips by and the member doesn't post it or something, it should be on there as well. So switching topics, talking about setting your objectives. Before the event, you and your team, you want to work out what are your objectives for the event. And that's going to depend a lot on what's your existing relationship with the member. What's your existing relationship with the community? What's your goal here? Is it to educate? Is it to bring the member forward? Is it to draw out their perspective and their opinion on climate? What is your goal here? So here's a few examples of things that you can aim for. One, you can highlight a positive action the member of Congress has taken on climate or environmental policy more broadly and encourage further action. You can also encourage the member of Congress to take the best possible solution on climate change by asking a question that links their strengths and concerns to our issues. You can also find out more about the member of Congress or candidate and their priorities by asking a general question on climate change or related issues like energy and national security. And you can educate the member of Congress or candidate and others present by asking a question that contains a key fact about climate change or a CCL primary or secondary policy ask, especially if you feel like the member is not necessarily where you are on climate and education could be helpful. This is a good way of kind of that friendly face in the room that trying to call them out or put them on the spot, but just give them some helpful information to bring everyone along. You might want to create the impression that the public cares about climate change by not identifying a CCL unless you're asked. If you are asked, of course, we always want to be upfront that we're a member of CCL, but if not, it might be more helpful if the member doesn't know how much support there is for climate action, that you seem like just another face in the community to demonstrate that broad support. On the other hand, if you want to strengthen your CCL relationship with the member of Congress and their staff, you might want to create a positive impression of CCL's organizing ability and identify right away as a member of CCL. So that it depends on your goal there and your existing relationship. And lastly, you're going to want to establish a rapport with a member of Congress, candidate, or staff. And an easy way to do that in some of these events, particularly the in-person ones, is by mingling during transition times. You can come early, stay late. See if you can sit near the member of Congress, or maybe you see a staff member in the room that you can maybe chat with or sit close to. So any of those little touches can be helpful in the in-person events. All right. So now we'll get to the nitty-gritty, some tips and tricks to make these go a little more smoothly and hopefully make them a little more effective for you all. So here's some things you can do at any type of event, whether it's virtual, in-person, campaign, official, any type of event. Most important, you're going to want to keep it brief and keep it personal. You'll see people stand up at these events or speak on Zoom or over the phone, and they're grandstanding, and they're going on, and they very quickly lose the attention span of the member of Congress and everyone else in the room. So keep it brief, keep it personal, which often means you're keeping it local, so that's going to resonate. You also want to make sure that you're a breath of fresh air, which I know CCL has always been in all of the previous events I was a part of when I was on the Hill. You know, there's a lot of members of the community who want to call you out. They want to be confrontational. This is their moment to get something off their chest. And CCLers always came in with an attitude of trying to build that relationship, trying to educate, trying to inform, bring people along. So you're automatically going to seem like a breath of fresh air, an engaging, friendly face in the room, which is only going to benefit our mission in the long run. You want to approach these events with the same diligence you would apply to a private lobby meeting that you would have with the member of Congress. So think before you go in, what are the concerns of the member of Congress, the concerns of their constituents? What kind of language and messaging is going to work for this specific audience in the district? A good question is always going to include an appreciation at the beginning and the end. A member always wants to talk about what they did right, so that's something you've got to throw in there. And you want to offer some useful talking points for the speaker to pick up on. It can be tempting to kind of point out something you're disappointed in, or they lacked taking an action that was important to you, but that's less productive than helping them find useful talking points and leading them towards solutions on the issue. You also want to link your question to something that resonates with the member of Congress. And we've touched on this before, but you know, if your research shows that your member of Congress is on a national security focused committee or is very passionate about foreign affairs, you might want to reference a military official in a question. You might want to highlight the international implications of some of these climate actions or the lack of action on some other country's parts. So you want to take whatever concerns are relevant to that member, and you want to use that and tie it into your question to both draw their attention in and give them a ground that they are comfortable with. They're comfortable in talking on those issues, so they can easily talk about climate in that realm. All right, so pivoting to teletown halls, we talked about these earlier. I mentioned how nuanced they are, how structured they are. Many, many questions that are screened are not actually answered. So what can you do to make sure that your question is going to be one of the few that rises to the top and is actually addressed by the member? The first thing, I want to stress that it's really helpful to draft questions ahead of time. For other town hall events, you're going to find out in advance. You're going to have days to work out your questions. For these, You might have an hour's notice with a call. You might not even get notice. They might just call you one night and say, do you want to be a part of this town hall? Press one if you do. So it's helpful now to start thinking about what are some questions you have, jot them down, work them out, and then keep them somewhere handy, maybe in your cell phone, on a notepad you always have, so that if you happen to be on these town halls, on these teletown halls, you're ready. Make sure that as you're asking your question to the screener. So first, as I mentioned, let me back up, the staff is going to screen your question, and that's not live on the air. That's just with the staffer, and they're going to document that. What you want to highlight to the staffer is something that you support that the congressman or congresswoman did. So you want to highlight some action they did. You want to talk about a topic that they've been good on or they've led on, something that the member of Congress is going to want to talk about. They're going to want to brag. They're going to want to hear you say thank you. And that is going to automatically bump you up in the list. You're not jumping right to a confrontational issue. You're not highlighting something you're disappointed about. You're showing support for something they've done on an issue. Then if you do get through and you're on air, you still want the bulk of your question to be what you supported. I support your vote on infrastructure, and that was so meaningful to me for these three reasons. And then you want to tie that back to climate and environmental policy. Why is that relevant to you? Or what else can they be doing on climate in the infrastructure space? Something along those lines. So you really want the bulk of your message to be something positive that the member wants to talk on. But then once you're on air, you do want to throw in that hook and tie it back to climate and environmental policy. The last thing I'll say is, even if you are not chosen, don't just hang up at the end of the call. Most of the time, there's an opportunity to leave a voicemail for the office. And these are usually answered by staff. It's not usually just answered the same way a letter or an email is answered, which is why I encourage everyone to stay online. Typically, these are going to be sent to the issue LA, legislative assistant, or the person handling that topic. They're going to review all of these, see if any stand out, and then they're either going to craft a response or they're going to have someone else draft it. So leaving a voicemail is going to make sure your comment or just your name, just your support for the member, whatever the messages you want to convey, is getting seen by a staffer, and usually one that's in the specific issue area that you are writing about. All right, so we will now talk about ideas for in-person events. I think some of the first few are pretty easy, and what I'm sure a lot of you would already do. Dress presentable. You want to sit up front, you want to smile, you want to look pleasant. You don't want to look like an adversary. Obviously, I don't think a member of Congress is going to call on someone that doesn't look too friendly. So you want to look like an ally just in your presentation. You want to make sure you're sitting near the microphone if there is one for participants. It just makes it easy, especially if it's a crowded room where there's a lot of questions, they're not going to get through them all. You want to make sure you're one that they're going to answer. And you want to treat it like you're preparing for a lobby meeting. So the same goals you have in a lobby meeting, it's engagement, it's not confrontation. You want to make sure that you're looking like an ally, you're talking about an issue and thanking the member in the beginning, thanking the member in the end, and in the middle, you're talking about climate and environmental policy and getting that in there in an easy way to digest that's going to hopefully allow the member to engage. And be flexible. There's not one size fits all. If you're in the town hall and there's a lot of tension with the member, you might want to ask an easier question or just a moment of levity, just a moment of appreciation. Feel the room out, feel the vibes of what's happening, and try to act in your best interest long-term. What's going to help your relationship with the member and also help your relationship with the constituents in the room and get your message across. We'll talk about a few things that you want to avoid at any type of town hall. And these are probably easy to understand given the things that we highlighted that are good to do, but you wanna avoid speeches that are disguised as questions. Like I said, there's a short attention span of everyone in the room. So keep it brief, keep it focused on one aspect. You also wanna avoid questions that make them say no. You don't wanna ask accusatory questions, anything that starts with, why didn't you do this? I was disappointed that you did that. We want to lead them to a better position, and we're unlikely to reach their hearts with any sort of negative questions. So we want to frame things in a positive light. We also want to avoid prefacing questions with long statements about the desperate situation with climate. When we talk specifically about climate change and what's happening, it's most helpful to reference local experts and specific local climate impacts. So talk about the flooding that happened over the summer in your community, or the farmers you've engaged with that are suffering under the most recent drought, or whatever the local concern is that you think the member will be aware of or will be interested to learn more about. Although these meetings can offer opportunities to move things forward, sometimes these meetings are counterproductive. Avoid saying anything that provokes a negative response from the crowd, because that could discourage a congressman or woman from taking leadership on climate change. And you want to avoid backing the member of Congress into a corner and creating a defensive reaction. Like I said before, our goal is engagement. We don't want to be confrontational. And if that's not possible, then attending and speaking at these events might not be a useful part of our strategy. All right, so now we will dive into some sample questions. The ideal question is going to encourage your member of Congress or the candidate to respond positively. It plays well with the audience. In general, we want to ask questions that encourage them to speak about solutions and or the need for bipartisanship. So for the next section, we're going to review three different approaches to engaging your member of Congress with a question, and it's going to depend on the audience mix you find yourself in. We're going to talk about a politically mixed audience, a liberal audience, and then a conservative audience. So we'll start with the politically mixed audience. In these audiences, you can't assume that everyone is on board with climate action. Some people are going to be where we are and some people aren't. So the goal here is to make it very personal and make it very local. You want to make sure that you're talking about something that's going to resonate with a lot of people in the room. So talking, like I said, about the local flooding, talking about a recent incident that happened near your house, or local impact on businesses that you've heard from business owners, something that's going to touch the hearts of everyone in the room. And then you also want to highlight the economic impacts. And we say this because that's one of the topics that resonates with most people. It goes beyond health impacts. It touches more people than a lot of other tangential impacts of climate, economic policy, economic impacts, how it's hitting their paychecks, how it's hitting their weekly spending. Those topics go a long way in the eyes of most people, especially in mixed audiences.
Last year, my cousin almost lost her job because she couldn't get to work after the roads washed out in her town following 10 inches of rainfall. That's supposed to be a 1,000-year event, but we've had several in the last few years. I think there's something to this problem of climate change. I'm tired of seeing Congress argue over it. I'd like to see both parties come together and do something. How will you bring members of both parties together to make sure that we aren't making things worse for my generation, kids, and grandkids by ignoring climate change?
Thank you, Jess. Notice some of the key themes that were highlighted in Jen's review there. Again, as we want to review some of the goals for each of those. Jess did a wonderful job of really specifically easing to the topic with her own personal story from her family and that local impact, and then really made the appeal to working across the aisle and highlighting the benefits economically that can happen should we take proactive action. I'll pass it back to you for the next scenario there, Jennifer.
Thanks, Brett. So we're going to turn to a more liberal audience. So when you know most of the people in the room are of a liberal bent, you can assume that most attendees are already prioritizing climate policy as one of their top issues, and the member of Congress as well. So when that's the audience, the most important things are to highlight the importance of bipartisan buy-in. And for that point, you want to make sure that we're highlighting that, you know, partisan solutions are not going to stand the test of time. If you've got a changing administration, a changing Congress, policies that are supported only by one party are very easily rolled back. So that's why we're pushing for these bipartisan solutions that are going to last. They're going to stand the test of time and really be able to be something that's making long-term significant change. And the last thing you might want to do is highlight our desired policy, so in this case, carbon pricing, while drawing out the members' positions. So given that you know that everyone's on board with climate action, the need for significant action, it's helpful to dive into here's our policy, but also see where's the members stand on that and what other policies are they looking at that they might want to put forward on climate.
Thank you, Congresswoman. I would guess that most people here are concerned, like I am, about climate change. And we're doing as much as we can locally and individually to lower our own emissions, but we need federal action. I've personally concluded that the only way that can happen is by both parties working together. Otherwise, everything gets undone with a change in administration. What will you do to work with Republicans who are beginning to come around on this issue so that we can have some lasting solutions?
Excellent. All right, I'll pass it back to you, Jen, to set up our final scenario.
Perfect. So the last one we're going to talk about is when the audience is conservative. So in this case, you're going to assume that some people in the audience, maybe the majority, unfortunately, are skeptical of climate change science. They're skeptical of the policies that are being proposed in the space. So in this case, your goal is to focus on local environmental issues that impact everyone and most importantly are impacting the economy. So like I said before, maybe it's an issue that's facing the ag community. Maybe it's an issue that's impacting some of the infrastructure and preventing some of our goods from being transferred across county lines or some sort of local business issue. Any of those issues are going to resonate with people in the room. It's not going to immediately send off red flags as an environmentalist is asking a question. It's going to be about an issue that they care about, an issue that's impacting their daily life. And the second part of it is to highlight the importance of conservative, market-based environmental policies. Solutions. You want to make sure that the member and the audience feel like we're talking to them on their terms. The words conservative, market-based, those are terms that they're going to feel very comfortable with and things that are going to signal to them, oh, there is a place for us in this dialogue. What can I bring to the table? That's something that I support, that my constituent supports, and that I'm ready to talk on more fully. So those are the two key things to highlight on.
And since after this, I'm going to take us home and show where you can find the actual resource page on community, I'll model the conservative audience one and be able to demonstrate really what Jen was saying here, putting it together. So the story behind this one is emphasizing your own local impacts and taking from there. Congressman, the wildfire season has already started out west, I see. And last year, my friends in Idaho were telling me about all of the smoke and ash falling in their neighborhood. I really worry about the health in their homes. And I also wonder how much fighting these fires is going to be costing all of us taxpayers. So my question to you is, I think we need to take prudent action about climate change. So what kinds of solutions would be consistent with your conservative values? So again, noticing from that framing, as Jennifer reviewed here, the importance of the environmental or health issues and highlighting the importance or naming explicitly conservative values, market-based solutions. And the great thing is there's several questions depending on each of those audiences. So if there's one that resonates or feels a bit more authentic for you, you are more than welcome to try them all on for size and feel how you might want to apply them in your own town hall or candidate forum setting. To find them, you don't just have to click the link in Zoom in case you are looking for these after tonight live's webinar, but you are more than welcome to, on the top of any page in CCL Community, click on that resources and training drop-down menu. From there, you can go to the all resources directory, and there's a category called Lobbying Congress. From there, you can easily see one of those is called Town Hall and Candidate Forums sample questions. You can easily just search in the search bar for sample questions. That should queue up this as the top search result too. And if you have any ongoing questions, please feel free to reach out to me. My email is brett@citizensclimate.org and direct your questions to the forums, cclusa.org/forums. The slides and the training page again are in the chat, and I'm gonna unmute all lines. We can all join a huge resounding round of applause for our esteemed guest tonight. Jennifer, you did such a wonderful job, and I just feel so much smarter after this hour together. So stay safe, thank everyone. You. Thank you again, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks, Brett.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram @CitizensClimate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration.
Like what you hear? Recommend us to your friends and make sure to give us a 5-star rating. It helps us show up on other listeners' feeds. Feel free to pass on any suggestions for future episodes in the comments as well.
And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.